The pay might not be up with the chief executive officer of H-Boss, but at least in my job, there's never a dull moment. I got home late last night from making a BBC documentary about navigable rivers. I'd spent the day on a 500-ton diesel gravel barge on the River Humber, which proved to be a trip down memory lane. We locked out of Goole on the Yorkshire Ouse after an early breakfast, and from the start, I could see that this was going to be instructional in more ways than one. As the lock cycled, the crew let off the lines, the bow swung out, and we ended up diagonally across the rectangular basin with our port bow to the gates. The head had to be kicked to port with zero space. For the life of me, I couldn't imagine how, but the skipper must have a compact with some nautical angel, because as the gates opened, the forecastle, which looked as far away as the goalposts as at the other end of a football pitch, swung to port against the right-handed propeller, as if by magic. "Bow thruster?" I asked. The skipper looked at me as if I was a moon man and said he couldn't understand why anyone would bother with the hassle on so small a vessel. I thought of the thruster on my 44-footer and kept my mouth firmly shut. Last time I shipped out of Goole, it was 1978. I was mate on a seagoing coaster of similar tonnage to the barge, and yesterday's trip became an exercise in nostalgia. It also asked some serious questions. Like the barge master, who was in his late 60s and had been doing the job since his first command half a century earlier at the age of 16, the skipper of the coaster on which I served was a genius of a boat handler. I think it must go with the trade, and I learned a great deal by watching him. Navigation was equally effective, but less spectacular. The coaster had a passage chart laid out on the bridge table on which very little plotting went on beyond a few preset biro lines, so as to save it for next time. Positions might have been supplied by the Decker Navigator, except that it rarely worked and was largely ignored. A compass stood in front of the huge wheel, but this was eclipsed in importance by an old-fashioned radar, the size of the fruit machines in the Goole Dockside pub which we frequented at risk to our lives. And that was our lot. It didn't take long for me to notice that the skipper favoured the radar above everything. So much store did he set by this most reliable of instruments that I truly believed he preferred looking into the rubber hood where we shoved our heads to keep out ambient light to observing the goings-on outside the bridge windows. After I'd got the hang of it, I began to understand why. There was no HD or digital radar in those days, just a cathode ray tube, but it generated a revealing picture once you were used to looking at it. Yesterday morning, the fog lay thick on the East Riding of Yorkshire, and visibility didn't improve 5 miles later as we arrived off the confluence of the navigable Trent at the source of the Humber. Most of the time we couldn't see either bank, and we had no chart plotter to give us confidence whether well-founded or not. In fact, after 3 decades of development, the barge had virtually the same navigation tools as my old coaster. The only differences were that a basic GPS had taken the place of the defunct Decker, and the cathode ray screen was smaller. The bow was just visible from the bridge as we pressed on seawards, drinking strong tea and discussing how we were saving 20 lorries from clogging the highways. But the radar picture was as clear as crystal. The reminder for me about keeping things simple was obvious. It seems insane that those who govern the country won't listen to the equally unambiguous message about using our waterway system to give the roads a rest.